Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, happy Labor Day, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Denny Griffin here. I'll be your host for the next half hour. And today I'm going to again discuss the Kaylee Anthony case, the 3-year-old girl who's missing from Orlando, Florida. I gave this a shot a week ago today, and my switchboard crashed, so I was unable to accept any phone calls or even know if I received any phone calls. So I decided I would try it one more time. And so far, so good. The switchboard seems to be up and running. If you'd like to comment or have a question about the Kaylee Anthony case, you can reach me at 646-478-0982. 646-478-0982. And if you're on my Blog Talk Radio website, you can also send me a text message through the chat room, and I'll check those periodically and respond to your question or comment. And I got to tell you, last week when my ability to accept phone calls died on me, it was a long half hour just talking to myself. So if I encourage anyone out there to bail me out a little bit and give me a phone call and tell me what's on your mind about Kaylee. There have been a few new developments in this case. I personally, probably pretty obvious, I'm caught up in it. And I started out when the story first broke, and there was allegedly the statement from the mother, Casey Anthony, that her daughter had been kidnapped, taken by a babysitter. And it didn't take long, however, before that theory was debunked, that story, because the babysitter didn't exist in the apartment that she allegedly had been occupying. In fact, had been empty for months. And the more information that came out about Casey Anthony, the more convinced I became, and I think most everybody else, that she was not a very trustworthy individual. In fact, I believe the term pathological liar came out shortly after the police did their preliminary investigation and found that nothing she told them was the truth. And as we've continued on with the case, there's been more and more information about Casey to indicate that she is not a very nice person. She's, I think, used her friends, if she has any actual friends, acquaintances, and family over the years, and stolen from them, and, just not a very nice lady. And I've also become skeptical as time has passed of the parents, Cindy and George Anthony, particularly Cindy. And for a while after their daughter was, Casey was first arrested for child neglect and obstructing the police investigation, they were on camera, several times a day. They were real media friendly. And they seemed sincere, again, especially Cindy, wanting to find Kaylee. And it was all right for a while, but then things kind of changed with them. They took up Casey's story and began to promote that when it was pretty obvious that that wasn't quite true. And their line has been, well, just because she's a liar doesn't make her a killer. And that is true, no question about that. However, the fact that, as near as I can tell, or from anything I've heard, Casey Anthony is doing absolutely nothing in the way of trying to find her daughter, if, in fact, the girl was kidnapped or was last seen alive by Casey. And that is very distressing, I think, very frustrating. And the fact that the grandparents, Cindy and George, are continuing to promote that particular story about the babysitter who doesn't exist, and so on, I find very disturbing. In fact, I'm more or less fed up with the whole crew here. And the lawyer, a guy by the name of Jose Baez, Casey Anthony's lawyer, he's not on the tube all the time, but periodically he's interviewed or giving a statement in public. And his main thing seems to be attack the police for not doing an investigation and accuse them of harassing his client and so forth. So I guess that's what lawyers do. He's obliged to defend Casey Anthony, and that's his primary job, and he must think that attacking the police is the way to go. But what he doesn't do is, and none of the interviewers I've seen have asked him, what about Casey? It's one thing to say the cops are botching the investigation or not doing their job, but he never seems to explain or is even asked, why isn't your client assisting in trying to find her daughter? And while Casey was in jail before she was bailed out, the story was that all the visits and phone calls were monitored and eventually made public, so Casey started canceling visits with her family. However, attorney-client should not be monitored. That's privileged communication. But Mr. Baez claimed that when he did communicate with Casey while she was in jail, he was very uncomfortable, and they were both uncomfortable, and they both sensed, whatever that means, I'm not sure, but they both sensed that they were being monitored. So the big thing was, if and when Casey was bailed out or got out of jail, she would then share with him, and then he in turn would either pass the information on to investigators or arrange for her to meet directly with the sheriff's investigators to give them information about Kaylee's whereabouts. Well, after a fellow by the name of Leonard Padilla, a bounty hunter from California, arrived on the scene with his nephew, a bail bondsman, and they ended up getting the $500,000 bond for Casey to get out, nothing happened. First of all, the bounty hunter was not allowed for Mr. Baez's orders to speak with Casey. She apparently met with him several times for hours at his office, but nothing happened from there. And let's just assume that Casey was involved in some other type of criminal activity that had nothing to do with her daughter's disappearance. Let's say she was dealing drugs, for example. And I'm not accused, I'm just throwing that out there as a hypothetical. And she didn't want to get into much detail with the police because she was afraid she would incriminate herself. And her lawyer, assuming she confided in him that she had some problems, said, hey, you can't talk to him. Otherwise, they'll arrest you or file additional charges. But it seems to me that if there was any truth to this tale about her daughter being alive and taken by the babysitter or some acquaintance of Casey's, I would think she could have told the lawyer, if she didn't want to talk to the police herself, look, I last saw Kaylee on such and such a date at approximately such and such a time, and here's what was going on. I dropped her off at Mary Smith's house. I was going to pick her up in a couple hours. When I went back, Mary Smith was gone. Her apartment was empty and blah, blah, blah. Okay. That would give the police a starting point to start this search. They could go try to find Mary Smith, check out that area where she supposedly lived or lives, and proceed from there. If the last location was, say, in a store, shopping mall, or something, they could review security tapes and see if they could pick up on anything there. But that would have to be the truth. Casey would have to convey the truth of what actually happened. She wouldn't have to subject herself to an interrogation or interview by the police. She could pass the information on through her lawyer, but at least give them the legitimate starting point, even if she didn't give them any other details or make any other statement. The fact that that hasn't happened, as far as I know, leads me to believe what I've suspected, most people have suspected all along, that this is all garbage. That if the girl is still alive, there was something else besides her being taken by the mystery babysitter. A couple of thoughts that came to my mind, if that is true, if that the girl is actually alive, or was last time Casey saw her, was perhaps Casey sold her. I mean, there's a market, unfortunately, in human slavery and the child sex trade and so forth. So a very cute little girl, Kaylee. There could be a buyer. Casey's always apparently had money problems and always is in debt. Maybe that's a possibility. Maybe she just didn't want the girl. I mean, Casey's 22. She, from the evidence that's come out since the story broke, during the time frame when Casey was gone and before she was reported as missing to the authorities, Casey was in full party mode. A lot of pictures of her at some club, seemingly having a good time, and the acquaintances and friends of hers that have been interviewed on television have indicated they saw nothing in her demeanor, in Casey's demeanor, to indicate she was under any stress or having any difficulties. Yet she claimed that during that time frame, she was actually conducting her own investigation. Now, what that consisted of, I have no idea. I don't think there was an investigation, but she claims there was. At any rate, the parents have apparently bought into Casey's story, or they're supporting it. Whether they believe it themselves or not, I don't know. And Casey now is back in jail. Her $500,000 bond has been revoked. She was rearrested Friday on new charges that had nothing to do with Kaylee's disappearance. And those charges regard financial crimes. It's alleged that she borrowed her girlfriend's car at some point prior to Kaylee going missing. And in the car, she found the girlfriend's checkbook. And she helped herself, apparently forged checks, and I understand she's on videotape at a bank actually signing the checks or offering them with a forged signature at the bank. She drained the friend's checkbook or check account, tapped it out. So anyway, she's now in jail on that, which is, in the great scheme of things, relatively minor. But the big thing is that the $500,000 bond for the neglect charges and obstructing the police has been revoked. So she's got that, and I think a $3,000 bail bond or bail for the new financial crime charges. Now, I thought for a while that this was going to be a pause in the action here, because the Anthony family, including the attorney, have their story that Kaylee is alive. She's in the custody of some acquaintance of Casey's, and she's going to be returned. That's been the theory that they promote. And they've stuck to it now for several weeks. So I didn't expect anything major to happen on that front. And I thought that the next big news or major news in the case would be the return of or public release of DNA results and regarding materials that were found in the car that Casey had been driving at the time her daughter disappeared, or perhaps even finding Kaylee or Kaylee's body. I was watching TV Saturday night, the Geraldo show on Fox, and they had Mr. Baez, the attorney, on there, and he said that he's going to contact the surety company that originally put up the $500,000 security and try to get them to reinstate the bond. I don't know how successful he'll be, but if he is, Casey could be back out on the streets or at least on home confinement within a few days. And then they had a clip they showed of Cindy Anthony, Haley's grandmother, Casey's mother. And if anybody's been following this case will recall that on July 15th of this year, when Cindy Anthony made a rather hysterical 911 call to report her granddaughter missing, in that call she stated that the car Casey had been driving reeked or smelled of a decomposing body. She later backed off on that statement and said that it was more than likely not a decomposing body, that the odor was caused by a pizza or part of a pizza that had been left in the car and rotted and began to rot. Well, lo and behold, on Saturday night, she has a new theory about that smell. She says that when the car, Casey had abandoned the car in front of a check cashing business. The car was subsequently towed as an abandoned vehicle. And Cindy feels or claims that after the car was taken to the impound yard by the tow company, someone got into the area where the car was being stored and stashed a dead body in the trunk. Not necessarily Kaylee's, but maybe nobody even related to the case. And when they had access to the car, they could possibly have even planted other evidence as well. So, And then before Cindy and her husband retrieved the car from the towing company, whoever had stashed the dead body to begin with removed it. So when they got the car back, there was no corpse in it. It had been left there long enough, apparently, to begin to decompose, create the odor that several people have mentioned, including Cindy Anthony in her first call. And they took the body out, and who knows where it went from there or who it was. I have a lot of trouble with that. And when these theories or excuses or explanations are put out like that, I almost feel insulted that I'm expected to believe this kind of thing. And it seems to me that now that there's been a mention of planted evidence, besides the corpse allegedly being placed in the trunk of Casey's car, I couldn't help but think of the O.J. Simpson case. And former LAPD Detective Mark Furman, who was accused of planting the so-called bloody glove behind Simpson's house when the police searched it and the property. And it just so happens that Mark Furman, who does some reporting for Fox News, primarily the Greta Van Susteren program, went to Orlando shortly after the story was first broke. And I couldn't help but kind of chuckle with the idea that maybe Mr. Baez will accuse Furman of planting evidence, because I assume whatever comes up as far as DNA test results from materials found in Casey's trunk, including hair or hairs and supposedly some type of a fluid stain that was found, if any of this comes back that it was Kaylee or from Kaylee, and that the results indicate decomposition, or that the person was dead at the time the hair was removed, or the fluid. I suspect it's going to be a planted evidence type situation, that whoever really killed Kaylee wanted to frame Casey, got into the trunk, maybe planted a stashed a body there, Kaylee or somebody else's, until it began to smell, planted hairs and other evidence, removed the body and left the car there then for the cops to end up getting a hold of. So I think that's kind of a stretch, and I say that only in jest about Mark Furman, but there seems to be nothing out of bounds with the Anthony side on this. I mean, any story, any action seems to be totally acceptable in their eyes. They throw it out there and expect the public to gobble it up hook, line, and sinker. And I really resent that. I take it, I guess, as kind of a personal insult that they look in that camera and come up with such preposterous stories that don't pass the smell test. So that really has me frustrated and actually angry. What's going on with the case now, pending what happens with reinstating Casey's bail, will probably be, in fact, the DNA results when they are conclusive. My understanding is that some preliminary results came back indicating that Kaylee may, in fact, be deceased, but they have to be a confirmatory testing done and so on and so forth. And as of right now, they're not going to charge Casey with a homicide until they have more conclusive evidence. But the legal experts on the various TV shows have said that if these tests come back showing that it was definitely, that the materials were definitely from Kaylee and that she was dead, they could, even without a body, charge Casey in connection with the death. So we'll have to see how that plays out. And there have been stories also that the police, through checking Casey's cell phone records and what towers she was pinging off of at various times, have located at least some phone calls that were made in an area near the airport in Orlando, supposedly a wooded area. And there's some suspicion that perhaps she did something out there with the body, that maybe she's... if in fact Kaylee was deceased, that she disposed of the body in that wooded area. So there are searches going on, and supposedly the police are still working on this, although if you listen to Mr. Baez or Cindy or George Anthony, you wouldn't think so. But the investigation apparently is going on, and hopefully at some point we'll get to the bottom of what happened. And again, Casey Anthony had approximately a month from the last time her daughter, Kaylee, was seen by the grandparents, which would have been on June 16th, until Cindy Anthony reported the girl missing to the police on July 15th, that she was allegedly conducting her own investigation, to have come up with something. To have left a trail of what she did for this so-called investigation, who she talked with, what steps she took trying to find her daughter, if any of that was the truth. And as far as I've been able to determine, the police have found nothing to indicate that she was doing anything regarding this big search or investigation she had going on her own. So, again, it's very difficult to believe any of this stuff. And now the deal about the body being put in the trunk of the car at the impound lot. It's just totally unbelievable. And for the grandparents or for Cindy to be promoting this story, and apparently when she said it, she acted very serious. I mean, she wasn't giggling or laughing or smiling. It looked like it was a serious statement. And so I find not only does Casey Anthony have no credibility in my eyes, neither does Cindy or George, for that matter. He's not on the tube as much as his wife, but he said nothing to make me think that he is totally with the program either. So we're stuck now with a girl, Kaylee, who probably is dead. The odds are probably that she's dead. We've got her mother back in jail who refuses to talk to the police. Her lawyer won't allow her to be interviewed. She is not voluntarily helping them at all, either by agreeing to talk with them directly or by passing information through her attorney. And as I said early on, she could give them, assuming that there was any truth to her initial story, she could give them some leads without having to make an official statement on the record or be interrogated by them. She could do it through her lawyer. And so there are ways to do that, and it's just inexcusable that if this young girl is in fact alive or was alive last time Casey saw her, and she has information, again, as to when, where, and the circumstances about the last time she saw her, for her not to convey that information, at least that basic information, to give the police a starting point, a good, solid, legitimate starting point for their search or for their investigation, I find inexcusable. And I don't see that changing at all. And someday, we may get to the bottom of this, and it won't be because of Casey or her story about what happened, or her sudden change of heart deciding to become a truth teller. It'll be as a result of evidence such as the DNA results and so on, and possibly witnesses who tell what they know and so on and so forth. But I don't anticipate, based on past performance, that we're ever going to hear the truth out of Casey, who would be the one to know. And her parents will say that they had no knowledge of what happened to Kaylee. But the fact that they're apparently fully on board with their daughter's explanations or excuses or lies, however you want to term it, I don't think we're ever going to get much from them. So if this comes out, and I don't doubt but what eventually we'll see a computer game of some sort based on this, kind of a whodunit, and follow the clues and try to figure out what happened to Kaylee. And this whole situation is so bizarre that a computer game is not, given all the other circumstances around this case and the players involved in it and so forth, a computer game on it probably is not out of the question. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see such a thing. So anyway, that's how I see the current situation with Kaylee Anthony. And if anybody would like to voice their opinion, you can leave word on my blog in One Man's Opinion on WordPress, and I'd like to hear from you. In the meantime, thank you very much. Have a nice holiday, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.